Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's a pleasure to once again welcome a representative from Theater by the Sea, that beautiful place in Matunuck, Rhode Island, where you can see wonderful shows. And this is going to be the story of another blockbuster coming to Theater by the Sea. Chicago. Wrong music, but the right town. We have with us one of the stars of the show, Chicago, which is going to open on August 15th, just a few days from now. And Tara Connor Jones is here. Welcome, Tara.
Hi, everyone.
It's nice to have you with us. You're going to be playing the part of Mama, right?
Mama Morton, or Matron Morton, absolutely.
Matron.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's a little bit of a big title for someone as young as you, but that's all right. Well, you know.
We'll
use our imagination and pretend you're over 21.
Yes. Well, she has a bit of sass. So.
Okay.
And so do I.
And so do you. And Theater by the Sea goers might recognize the voice and the name because you were here just a month or so ago with Misbehaving, right?
I was here in Ain't Misbehaving. I played the role of Nell a little over a month ago, yes.
Right. And that was a phenomenal performance. And
Thank you.
I just love that show.
So do I.
And it was a lot of fun. So the theater went from Ain't Misbehaving, which was the opening show, and then it went to something else, and I'm drawing a blank on what it went to after Ain't Misbehaving. Why am I doing
that? Mamma Mia, I believe.
It was Mamma Mia. Then Joseph. I was thinking there was something between that. That's right. Mamma Mia, great run of that. 5 weeks of that, as a matter of fact. Set all kind of records at the theater. And then Joseph, which is ending today. So if you haven't seen it, too bad. It was good.
It was amazing.
But the good news is... The good news is you can still see Chicago, which is going to open for previews on Wednesday and Thursday, and then the big opening official night, Friday night, which I'll be there and can't wait. And we're going to find out a little bit about Tara and your background. So we know you're in the show.
Yes.
That much we've got. So let's back up time a little bit
and
to where you started out as a child. And where was that?
Back when Hammer was a hatchet, something my grandmother used to say, which is a long time ago,
right. But
just recently. I was born in Jacksonville, Florida,
okay,
which is where I lived most of my life up until just a few years ago.
Okay, and Jacksonville, Florida is not necessarily known as a hotbed for theater talent.
This is what I'll say. There are so many great singers and actors that come out of Jacksonville.
Really?
But we tend to go to other places because our community is not necessarily known for being that place.
Okay.
So we end up going other places to work. We do have a professional theater there, which is where I got my start, and that's the Alhambra. So that's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place to work and be. But
well, let's back up before you got that job at the professional theater. And where did you first think about, you know, I'd love to be on stage and be famous?
I would say my first thought of wanting to be on stage probably came in church. I was around 9, 10, maybe 11, somewhere in those years.
Mm-hmm.
And my church got a new pastor. And that pastor was this young, dashing, beautiful man who drove a Regal. did I date myself just then? Oh, my God. I may have.
Well, it could have been a classic car.
Right. And he had the most amazing voice, and all of the little girls at church was just crazy about our new pastor. Hmm. All the church ladies, don't fuss at me. I was a little girl. But he heard me sing just in the Sunshine Choir, because during that time you had to do something at church. It wasn't an option to not be in the choir, an usher.
Everybody did something.
Right.
Right.
And so he pulled me out and asked me to do a solo. And my first, very, very first solo, first time singing aloud, was Give Me a Clean Heart.
Give Me a Clean Heart.
The hymn.
The hymn, yeah.
And it was when I noticed people's responses, especially my grandmother, who like cried. And everybody, they were so jubilant and hugged me and loved me. And it was at that moment that I realized the power of a voice,
right,
and what it would do right. to people. I wasn't thinking at the time of like an audience, but just how it affected people. Right. And from then on, I sang and sang and sang.
Just kept singing.
And started training classically, actually. Through high school. Right. I went to Douglas Anderson, the School of the Performing Arts, which is a very famous school. Many of our people have gone on to win Tonys and Grammys and Academy Awards and all of that. I'm on my way. A little late, but I'm coming.
There you go. All right. You know, I remember when I was young, people used to cry when I sang, but I think it was for different reasons.
I'm sure it's not. It's because they were overjoyed.
But, so we get you into high school, classically being trained. Did you go to school after that?
I did. Okay. I went to college. I started out as a music major. At Theory 3, I decided probably not, because that I didn't want to go any farther than Theory 3. It was hard. Okay. It kicked my butt, so to speak. So I decided, what else could I do? What could be easy enough? Because my mother said, you're going to go to school. I wanted to come to New York when I graduated from high school.
Right.
My mother said, going to school, because if something happens to your throat one day, how are you going to pay rent? How are you going to feed yourself?
A smart mother.
I hated it at the time. Now
you realize.
It was the best thing she could have done for me.
Right.
So if anyone young is listening, listen to your parents. They really, really know what's the best thing to do for the most part.
I think we can say that a lot, but I'm not sure it's going to work.
I'm telling you. So I got a degree in elementary education.
Okay.
And I taught for 19 years, first and fourth grade.
You taught for 19
I
years?
I taught for 19 years. My first graders were my babies. Absolutely adored them. I hugged them every day when they entered the classroom, and when they left, they were my children. Mm-hmm. And then I was devastated and moved to fourth grade, and those huge alien children became my babies, and then I would hug them when they came and entered too, and some of them were as tall as me, but they were my sweethearts.
There you go.
And
this is one of those occasions where, after many, many years of doing radio, I wish we had a camera in the room that was able to show our audience that's listening the picture of you, because I'm like astounded that obviously if you taught for 19 years, you're over 25. But I'll tell you, it's amazing. You will never know it. When you get to see her in Chicago, you won't have any clue, as you didn't in Ain't Misbehaving.
Good.
I want to get to a piece of music that'll just kind of set the mood for us and find out a lot more about you and things you've done. But let's get to one of the more famous songs in the show, All That Jazz, and we'll take our breath while we're listening to that, and then we'll come back with more.
Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz, I'm gonna rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. And all that jazz, start the car, I know a whoopee spot. Well, the gin is cold, but the piano's hot. It's just a noisy hall where there's a nightly brawl. And all that jazz. hair and wear your buckle shoes. And all that jazz, I hear that Father Dib is gonna blow the blues. And all that jazz, hold on, hon, we're gonna bunny hug. I bought some aspirin down at United Drug in case you shake apart and want a brand new start to do that jazz.
Skidoo!
And all that jazz.
Hotcha! Whoopee!
And all that jazz. It's just a noisy hall where there's a nightly brawl and all that jazz.
Listen, R, your husband ain't home, is he?
No, her husband is not at home. Find a flask, we're playing fast and loose. And all that jazz, right up here is where I store the juice. And all that jazz, come on, babe, we're gonna brush the sky. I bet you're lucky, Linden, never flew so high. Cause in the stratosphere, I'll cut your random ear to all that jazz.
Oh, you gotta see a sheep a shimmy shake.
And all that jazz.
Oh, she's gonna shimmy till her daughter's brain.
And all that jazz. Come on, babe, I don't want to pay that town. And all that jazz.
And all that jazz.
I'm gonna rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. And all that jazz.
And all that
start the car, I know it won't be spot. While the gin is cold, but the piano's hot. Just a noisy hall where there's a nightly brawl and all that.
So that's final offer, it?
Yeah, I'm afraid so, Roxy.
Oh, Fred?
Oh, Fred?
Yeah?
Nobody walks out on me!
Sweetheart!
Oh, don't sweetheart me, you son of a bitch!
Roxy! Hatcha!
Whoopee!
I gotta pee.
No, I'm no one's wife, but oh, I love my life, and I'm there.
All right, we're definitely in the mood now. We're singing along with all that jazz.
All that jazz.
All that jazz. And I'm going to ask a little bit more about you, but I want to get to the show and the storyline of the show. So we finally get you out of school after teaching, and at that point you decide to move to New York?
No, 2014 I resigned from teaching and got my equity card through a show in Jacksonville at the Alhambra. And decided to take a leap of faith. And I leaped into Sarasota and worked there for a number of years at a theater, West Coast Black Theater Troupe. And then I took another leap and worked in Shanghai, China for 6 months in two nightclubs.
Of course. Where else would
wait,
go?
Wait, where else would I be going?
To China. Okay.
And then that was last year. And then January, I took this leap. And moved here to New York.
Yeah, well, it's close enough.
Yeah,
it's only a few hours away. And a lot of the actors, obviously, that are at Theater by the Sea live in New York. So you're there with a lot of fellow actors and
Theater
singers.
By the Sea were the first people who decided to hire me since I've been here. So I'm very grateful.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more.
Yes.
And I want to get now to the show because I could talk to you all night. But this is a little bit about the show Chicago.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this next song that's coming up called Cell Block Tango.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I'm the person that's never seen the show Chicago.
Yes.
How did I go from a song like All That Jazz, which I think, if I had never seen the show, I have. But if I hadn't, I would be like, oh, it's a Happy's tap dance show.
Well, All That Jazz is a very fun song, but it's All That Jazz that got some of these ladies in trouble. Being out at night and doing all of this dancing and hopping here and hopping there, because the show opens by telling you that this is a story about murder and greed and corruption and violence and exploitation and all of that. And so you're being very jazzy, but that jazziness got you into a bit of trouble, which is how we end up getting to Cell Block Tango. And this is a really important part of the show. And it's actually so kind of a sexy song, even though you meet the murderesses of the Cook County Jail. These are all the women who have committed murder. And so Cell Block Tango is the song and dance where they basically introduce themselves and tell you why they are in jail.
All right. Okay.
it's a fun song.
Okay.
Even though it's about murder, but still.
It's a fun song about murder. We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
The six merry murderesses of the Cook County Jail in their rendition of The Cell Block Tango!
Paw! Six. Squish.
Cicero.
Lip shits.
Pop.
Six.
Squish.
Cicero.
Lip shits.
Pop. Six. Squish. Cicero.
Lip shits.
Pop. Six. Squish. Cicero.
Lip shits.
He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame. If you'd have been there, if you'd have seen it,
I bet you would have done the same.
Pop.
These little habits that get you down, like Bernie liked to chew gum. No, not chew, pop. Well, I come home this one day and I am really irritated and looking for a little sympathy, and there's Bernie laying on the couch drinking a beer and chewing. No, not chewing, popping. So I said to him, I said, Bernie, you pop that gum one more time. And he did. So I took the shotgun off the wall and I fired two warning shots into his head.
He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame. If you'd have been there, if you'd have heard it, I bet you would have done the same.
I met Ezekiel Young from Salt Lake City about 2 years ago, and he told me he was single, and we hit it off right away. So we started living together. He'd go to work, he'd come home, I'd mix him a drink, we'd have dinner. Well, it was like heaven in 2.5 rooms. And then I found out, single, he told me, single my ass! Not only was he married, oh no, he had 6 wives, one of those Mormons, you know? So, that night when he came home, I mixed him his drink as usual. You know, some guys just can't hold their arsenic.
Ha! He had it coming! Pop, six, he had it coming! Just a little bit of power, six, it tried. And then he used it, pop, and he abused it, six. It was a murder, but not a crime.
Damn, stand in the kitchen. kitchen, carving up the chicken for dinner, minding my own business, and in storms my husband Wilbur in a jealous rage. "You've been screwing the milkman," he said. He was crazy and he kept on screaming, "You've been screwing the milkman!" And then he ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times!
If you'd have been there, if you'd have seen it, I bet you would have done the same.
Meet Kiara Shake in it. Osman Jago Jahir is lapping the photo of it. And neglect of the Mofayet. Then Nemega, say not that one that yok. Nim to them yet, Monjanko Sam Hooding at him. Barabata Morendo Shake and Megajarasni did him irritated me.
Yeah, but did you do it?
Not guilty.
My sister Veronica and I did this double act, and my husband Charlie traveled around with us. Now, for the last number in our act, we had these 20 acrobatic tricks in a row. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, split, spread eagles, flip-flops, backflips, one right after the other. Well, this one night we were in Cicero. The three of us sitting up in a hotel room, boozing, having a few laughs, and we ran out of ice, so I went out to get some. I come back, open the door, and there is Veronica and Charlie doing number 17, the spread eagle! Oh, I was in such a state of shock, I completely blacked out. I can't remember a thing. It wasn't until later when it was washing the blood off my hands. I even knew they were dead. They had it coming, they had it coming, they had it coming all along. I didn't do it, but if I'd done it, how could you tell me that I was wrong? They had it coming.
He was a real autistic guy, sensitive, a painter, but he was troubled. He was always trying to find himself. He'd go out every night looking for himself. And on the way he found Ruth, Gladys, Rosemary, and Irving. I guess you could say we broke up because of artistic differences. He saw himself as alive. I saw him dead.
The dirty bomb, 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 bomb. The dirty bomb, 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 bomb.
They had it come, they had it come, they had it come, they had it come,
they had it come,
they had it come.
As if
they used, as if they used, as if
they abused, as they abused.
How could you tell us that we were wrong?
He had it come, he had it come, he had it come,
he had it come.
He only had,
he only had to pay.
Number 17, the spread eagle.
Autistic difference.
I bet you would have done.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, and we are talking about Chicago coming to Theater by the Sea this week, and it'll be opening for previews on Wednesday and Thursday, and then the Friday night opening that I'll be attending, where all the press corps is there. Tara, I don't want you to be nervous, but
I'll try not to.
Everybody will be there on Friday night. We'll all be taking notes and watching you.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding. It's a lot of fun.
I'm calm.
If you would like to order tickets for the show, you can do so by going online at theaterbythesea.com, which is the best way to do it. Well, it isn't actually the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to call 401-782-TKTS, that's 8587, and talk to Vinny. Hey, how you doing, Vinny?
Hiya, Vinny.
Vinny in the box office, and just, you know, tell him that Tara and Mike said that you could get a special discount. And see how far that gets you with Vinny.
Don't say my name, though, not to Vinny, please.
But you should call right away. I don't know how much good it's going to do you, because most of the shows are pretty well sold already. But there are some seats here and there. I think I looked online and saw one seat left downstairs for the opening on Friday night. One single seat.
That's probably correct.
Yeah. And so it's amazing. But the show will be running for lots of performances between Wednesday, August 15th and Sunday, September 9th. So make sure you get down to Theater by the Sea. It's always a great take. And you can stroll down, see the gardens, and go back to the bistro and enjoy a little beverage at the gazebo during intermission or before the show. And it's a great place to visit if you haven't been there. I encourage everyone to get down to the theater and have a great night out. And this is the last show of the season, so you've been procrastinating. Don't do it any longer. Get down to see
with a bang.
Chicago. Yes. Right. And Tara, let's pick up the fact that we just left you in a cell block. And let's proceed with the show storyline a little bit from there.
All righty. So the ladies of the jail have introduced themselves with cell block Tango and told you all about how their husbands had it coming. He had it coming. Ah, I love it. I don't get to sing that with them, but I'll be singing it backstage to myself. And then you meet the mistress of Murderer's Row, the warden herself, me, Matron Mama Morton. She comes in and basically sets the stage for how we're going to run things in this prison. And it's on a system of reciprocity.
Oh.
You wash my hand, I'll wash your hand.
Was that really the line?
that actually is sort of in the song, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought there would be a different body part, but okay.
This hand, don't you know that this hand washes that one too?
Okay.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
Right.
I actually sing that in the song.
Excellent.
Good save for myself, remembering the lyrics to the song.
Well, that sounds like a great segue to this next song.
It is a great song.
All right. And that's what it's called.
Yeah, When You're Good to Mama.
All right.
It's where I tell you my rules and how I run this prison.
All right.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the keeper of the keys, the Countess of the Clink, the mistress of Murderer's Row, Matron Mama Morton!
Ask any of the chickies in my pen. They'll tell you I'm the biggest mother hen. I love them all and all of them love me. Because the system works, the system called reciprocity. Always sees me through. When you're good to mama, mama's good to you. There's a lot of favors I'm prepared to do. You do one for mama, she'll do one for you. They say that life is tit for tat, and that's the way I live. So I deserve a lot of tat for what I've got to give. Don't you know that this hand washes that one too? When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
Mama, I always wanted to play Big Jim Colissimo's. Could you get me that?
Big Jim's? Well, now that's another story. That might take another phone call.
And how much would that phone call cost?
Baby, you know how I feel about you. You're like family. I'll do it for $50.
$50 for a phone call? You must get a lot of wrong numbers, Mama.
If you want my gravy, pepper my ragu, spice it up for mama, she'll get hot for you. When they pass the basket, folks contribute to. You put in for Mama, she'll put out for you. The folks atop the ladder are the ones the world adores. So boost me up my ladder, kid, and I'll boost you up yours. Let's all stroke together like the Princeton crew. When you're stroking Mama, Mama's stroking you. So what's the one conclusion I can bring this number to? When you're good to Mama,
so we've met the matron of the cell block.
And yes.
That's you.
That is me.
And I do want to ask about things people are always interested. I want to make sure that the audience understands when they go to the theater, they will hear not only equity actors and singers and dancers mm-hmm. and so forth, professionals, but they'll also have live music in the orchestra pit.
Yes.
And that's very cool.
That is going to be amazing.
Right.
So, that is a treat, yes.
Yes, that is a treat. So that's another thing. And then great sets and great costuming and all of that.
I was going to say, this show will be a treat for the ears and the eyes.
Ears and the eyes.
That's what I know.
Well,
you're going to be you're going to be amazed.
Now, are truly. You dressed in that last song as a uniformed type of policewoman?
I'm uniformed, but in my own sexy matronish, in charge kind of way.
Okay.
Right. I'll leave it at that. You'll have to come and see.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to this next song.
Yeah.
Where does this come in, My Own Best Friend?
We've moved down a bit through the show, and the two main characters in this show, Velma and Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
Velma has been like the person with the clout in the prison. She has been a favorite of the matrons, and Roxy comes in, and so there's this competition that brews between Velma and Roxy, and they get to a place where the attorney has found somebody else that's a bit more important to represent, so they're kind of in the dark,
mm-hmm.
and Velma wants Roxy to help her out with a plan to try to get them back in the forefront again.
Okay.
And Roxy doesn't really want to be bothered. Roxy's like, I have my own story, and I can get my attention, and I have my own little thing going.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it gets to this where they really decide that in this system, in this prison system,
right?
And for me, I think about it slash in this world sometimes,
okay. Yeah.
I am my own best friend. Like, I can't depend on you to help me.
Okay.
I am my own best friend. It's a beautiful song, and the actors, the young ladies that are Velma and Roxy, oh my God, they're both amazing. People are going to love them. They're very endearing, and this song is just that song that makes you think outside of the show.
Okay.
And think about life, and how mm-hmm. does this fit in my life? Where in life am I saying that I really am my own best friend? If I'm going to make it, I'm going to have to pull my bootstraps up and make it, honey.
There you go. All right, we'll listen to this, then take a short break and be back with more.
There's only one person who can help you now, Roxy.
There's only one person you can count on now, Velma.
And now, Miss Roxy Hart and Miss Velma Kelly sing a song of unrelenting determination and unmitigated ego.
Babies alone,
and babies
her and babies alone,
best friend.
Many's the guy who told me he cares, but they were scratching.
scratching my back, 'cause I was scratching there.
And trusting to
and
luck.
Trusting to luck.
That's only
that's
for fools.
Only for fools.
I play in a game where I make the rules. And rule number one from here to the end is I am my own best friend. Three musketeers who never say die are standing here this minute.
Me,
myself.
Welcome back to the Tara Connor Jones Show.
Oh my gosh, not at all.
No, it's a treat to have you here, and we're talking Tara about her role in Chicago, playing at Theater by the Sea, coming up in just a few days.
Yes.
Things have been going great in rehearsal, right?
So great.
So
yes.
Great.
A lot of work.
A lot of great cast members, a lot
yes.
of great orchestra
Everybody's
people,
amazing.
Backstage people.
Mm-hmm. The dancers are phenomenal. I have to
dancers,
oh my gosh.
You're not one of the main dancers?
Well, I dance too good.
Okay.
To be one of the main dancers. Not at all. I'm not a dancer.
I can remember when I was in Music Man last year, and Richard Zabelico, who was the director, looked at us in the quartet and said, "Here's the dance scene we have to do." And then he looked at the four of us. He said, "Why don't you guys stand in the back and watch?"
So I went in this audition once since I've been in New York. And when I walked in, and I was dressed very appropriately, you know, mm-hmm. nothing to make myself look like a dancer.
Right.
But when I walked in, the auditioner said, "So are you a dancer or a singer?" And for just a moment in time, I thought, do I look like a dancer? I was like, oh my God, should I answer dancer and see what happens?
Really?
But I didn't.
You didn't.
Yeah,
all right.
Didn't, no.
Well, all right. Okay, we're picking up the show, but before we do that, I would just want to kind of recap a little bit about you personally. Is there some place that you're going after Theater by the Sea? Do you know yet? Are you going back to New York to work some more out of there?
As far as I know right now, I'm going back to New York.
Okay.
I am auditioning for some other things that I hope
All right.
to be cast in.
It doesn't hurt for our audience to cross their fingers, right?
It does not
and,
at all.
And pray along with you.
Please, cross your fingers, pray a lot, send good vibes, all of that.
And in that vein of praying a lot and wishing you good vibes, I know you had some influences in your life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My mother, Shanita Connor, she is no longer with us on earth, but she is my everyday angel. You know, with like many mothers, her sacrifice, all of the years she worked, she was a nurse by profession, and she worked many double shifts to make sure I had everything I needed. But she was also a very strong, very well-educated, intelligent woman who was about making sure I knew that I could do whatever I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people all the time that the day she passed away, I was there with her in my arms. So that was nowhere else for me to be. And I share with people all the time that the moment she stopped breathing, it was as if a light went off and a light came on. And it was as if I could hear her saying, "Now live." And that was in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And finally in 2014, I finally got the message that my mother was saying, "You don't have to worry about me. You don't have to take care of me. You don't have to take care of this, that, and the other. All you have to do is live, go, jump, chase your dream. If it doesn't work, you are a certificated educator in the state of Florida. But you'll never know if you don't jump, if you don't do it. I've given you everything you need
be
to
your
fly.
Own best friend.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
All right.
So, yeah, she's so my sweetheart.
That's a great story, and we certainly wish you all the best. I want to continue along the lines of the show. And speaking about a message song, this next one,
yeah.
Cellophane, tell us, that's a little bit of an intro. If you haven't seen the show and you don't know the song, it's a rather unusual title.
It is. The guy who portrays the character Amos, his name is Kevin Larek. I was actually speaking with him a day or so ago about this song and how I believe people in the audience will really connect with it, especially if, because every human, I think, has, it's a human experience sometimes to feel like no one sees you.
Right.
And this song is Mr. Cellophane, and, you know, cellophane is that stuff we put over our bowls that you can see through and that kind of stuff. And the song goes, you know, to say, I'm here, but nobody sees me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody hears me. They walk right past me. They walk right through me. They never notice me. And it's a very sad song because even at the end of the song and at the end of the, I don't say that part, he is not noticed. Nobody sees him. And I was, he and I were talking and I said, I think people will really connect with this because at some point as humans, you feel like you are not seen or that your voice is not heard or that you're not important. You don't have anything important to add or it's not important for you to show up. But it is.
It is, absolutely.
It is important for you to show up. And I hope that people who may feel like this when they leave that show will turn that around and kind of make that affirmation that I am enough and I should be seen and I should be heard.
Maybe it'll be that light going on for them.
I hope so, yeah.
Right. I'm the father! Papa!
Dada. Did you hear me? Did you?
No, you didn't hear me. That's the story of my life. No one ever listens to me. Have you noticed that? Am I making it up? No one ever knows I'm around. Nobody, ever. Not even my parents noticed me. One day I went to school, and when I came home, they'd moved. If someone stood up in a crowd and raised his voice up way out loud and waved his arm and shook his leg, you'd notice him. If someone in a movie show yelled, "Fire in the second row! This whole place is a powder keg!" you'd notice him. And even without clucking like a hen, everyone gets noticed now and then. Unless, of course, that personage should be invisible, inconsequential, me. Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, should have been my name. Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there. I tell ya, Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, should have been my name. Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there.
Oh, Andy, I didn't see you there.
Amos, my name is Amos.
Well, who said it wasn't? It's the kid's name I'm thinking about.
What kid?
Roxy's kid. You know when she's due? Early fall. September? Can you count? September?
Well, that don't figure out right. I couldn't be the father.
Divorce her? Is that what you said? Oh, my God, man. You wouldn't divorce her over a little thing like that,
would you?
Yeah, damn right that's what I'll do. I'll divorce her. She probably won't even notice.
You're still here, Andy. I thought you'd gone.
Yeah, I'm still here. I think. Suppose you was a little cat, residing in a person's flat, who fed you fish and scratched your ears. You'd notice him. Suppose you was a woman wed, and sleeping in a double bed, beside one man for 7 years. You'd notice him. A human being's made of more than air. With all that bulk, you're bound to see him there. Unless that human being next to you is unimpressive, undistinguished, you know who. Should have been my name, Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there. I tell ya, Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, should have been my name, Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there. Never even know. I hope I didn't take up too much of your time.
Powerful song, Mr. Cellophane. And as usual, I'm having a great time here on Conducting Conversations and going way over time and talking to one of the most interesting people in the world. And you have been great. And
thank you. It's been
thanks
great
so much
being
for
here.
Coming in, taking time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you.
And best of luck opening on Wednesday and Thursday for previews Friday night.
Yes.
At Theater by the Sea. The number to call is 401-782-TKTS for tickets. Talk to Vinny in the box office, or you can walk up to the box office and see Vinny in person. Ask him for tickets or go online at theaterbythesea.com. And Tara, I want to just get one more song in. We're a little bit over, but that's okay.
Okay.
And
leave
and
it to me to go over. Oh, my gosh.
That's all right. You're well worth it. You're very well worth it.
Thank you.
So I can't wait to see you on Friday night, but tell us what we're going to wrap up with.
So we're wrapping up with the song entitled Class, and it's a duet between Matron Morton, Mama Morton, myself, and Velma Kelly. And this, I don't want to give too much of the plot away, but this is after some things happen with Roxy and her trial and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama is basically telling Velma that, you know, things ain't what they used to be. People don't have any class anymore. And so they sing this conversational song about whatever happened to please, may I, and yes, thank you, and how charming. And, you know, there's a few
words
expletives
in there,
but,
right.
You know, there are none that we don't say all the time. Yeah. It's like part of our vernacular. But that's the gist of the song. Whatever happened to class? Whatever happened to fine morals? And
right.
Which is the song is kind of like oxymoronish to me a little bit. I just made that word up because
like
here
that.
You have yeah. these people singing about class, but
and
not
and they don't have much.
Right. But it's a song that kind of makes you think though about the okay. times gone by and what right. we used to think was classy. You know.
All right. Tara Connor Jones, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a most rewarding and pleasurable experience.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Whatever happened to fair dealing and pure ethics and nice manners? Why is it everyone now is a pain in the ass? Whatever happened to
class.
Class. Whatever happened to please, may I, and yes, thank you, and how charming. Now every son of a bitch is a snake in the grass. Whatever happened to class?
Class.
Class.
Oh, there ain't no gentleman to open up the doors.
There ain't no ladies, now there's only pigs and whores. And even kids will knock you down so they can pass.
Nobody's got no class. Whatever happened to old values
and fine morals
and good breeding?
Now no one even says oops when they're passing their gas.
Gentleman that's fit for any use,
and any girl that touch your privates for a deuce, and even kids will kick your shins and give you
sass.
Nobody's got no class.
All you read about today is rape and theft.
Jesus Christ, ain't there no left? Nobody's got no glass.
Everybody who watch's got his brains in his crotch.
Holy crap.
Holy crap.
What a shame.
What a shame. What became?